When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
Jillian,
I have had a hard year, dude.
You know what? I can always tell
when
you start with that.
I think that, like, in business, people are prided on unethical behavior. You know, it's like, oh, this is where I can take out all of my sociopathic behaviors. You know, how bad can I screw you? How bad can I exploit you? How can I get one over on you? And it's where it's like, well, but it's business. Then it just makes you smarter. You know what I mean?
Like, savvy.
Yeah, right. I'm a shrewd. When it's just unbelievably, like, unethical and malicious. And I've just had the worst year with that kind of stuff. And I see it. You know, and unfortunately, my company is always in business with very big companies, and we learn very hard lessons. And I kind of said to my business partner, I was like, think of us as a third world country, you know, because we're this little company with like 15 employees. I was like, think of us as a third world company, and think of these multi-billion-dollar conglomerates that we're doing deals with as first world countries. What does a first world country do to a third world country? It's like rape, pillage, plunder, steal all the natural resources, and leave everything in a shambles. Sorry if I offend your politics, but I'm really speaking more about the year that I've had as a person. And I try to look at it. It's very interesting because I've made, you know, I'm trying so hard not to respond impulsively in ways that make the situation worse.
Right.
And, you know, I kind of wanted to talk about when it's time to fight and when it's time to flee, because you don't want to be a pushover and you don't want to be a doormat.
But you also don't want to be wasting your time and getting into battles that stress you out and exhaust your resources even farther and, you know, dig you in deeper and make matters worse. And I read this quote the other day, and it said, stop trying to fix what's broken and focus all that energy on building something new.
That's great.
Like, instead of trying, you know, and I just thought about it in a million different ways. You know, if people don't believe in gay marriage, don't sit there and try to tell them why they're wrong. Try to teach a new generation to be more loving and more accepting. You know, you're not going to win. You're not going to win that fight. And but even like if there's a business venture that's broken, like don't sit there and try to fight it out and say you're wrong and here's why you're wrong. You once had a segment with me about like our need to be right. Mm-hmm. You know, don't waste all that energy because you're just going to get in a pissing match anyway. Instead, focus on taking what you've learned and channeling that energy into a new business venture. And recently, oh my God, you know, the fourth thing that's happened this year, because we talked a little bit about something bad that had happened, and it involved a lawsuit. And very unfortunately, I can't talk about it because the case is sealed, and I would have, but my lawyer made a mistake. To make a long story short, these really bad people ended up getting away with murder because of a technicality and because they had all the money in the world to exploit the legal system.
Sure.
And at some point it was like, all right, I can keep fighting this and run the risk of being sued for millions and millions and millions of dollars, or I can be smart and just, you know, mediate this, take my licks, and live to fight another day. So it's like, when do you fight and when do you flee? And just because you might be quiet or you might not get into a brawl doesn't mean you're weak. And that's something that I have to keep telling myself. Because if you're out there and you're like me and you're a fighter and everything is very historical for you, and a friend of mine was like, God, girl, who are you fighting? And it's like my dad, you know, the bully, the domineering bully, you know, the person that tries to make me feel small, the person that tries to shame me, the person that tries to, you know, bully me and overwhelm me. And that has this big historical response, but sometimes it's just not worth it. Now, how do you choose? And I think what you need to really do is look at a situation broadly. It's like, is this issue going to matter tomorrow? Is it going to matter, you know, a week in the future, several months into the future? If the answer is yes, then yeah, you need to fight. You need to stay and you need to fight and you need to deal with it. But if it's like, no, I just want the last word. You know, so there was this lawyer, I guess, that had said to some of my coworkers that he was gonna put me on a leash. And of course, you know, the first thing that happened was Bob came and ran and told me.
Oh dear.
Bob was like, you know, ran and told me, and I wanted, of course, to call this guy and just be like, you know, do you have a daughter? Do you have a wife? Like, did your mother not love you the right way? Because don't ever say, you know, and just unravel. Don't ever say you're going to put a woman on a leash, you misogynistic. And then I was like, okay, how will that be helpful? How is that a useful, you know, how is that me using my time and my energy properly? What does it accomplish? Does it give me like the satisfaction of being like, you know, hey, you know, you don't. It's like trying to take power over a situation. And that's not taking power over a situation. Taking power over a situation is going, who cares what this guy says? Is he able to affect me negatively? Yes or no? And what is the most productive way to deal with it? So before you get into a brawl, stop and ask yourself, does this really matter? Does it really affect your life? Do you really need to get into a screaming match or a pissing match with this person? How could it make the situation worse? Will it get you closer to your goals? If the answer is no, don't engage. Don't waste your time. Channel that energy more positively. Now, with that said, there is a situation that is extremely wrong, and I do have to fight it. And it is worth, and I even said to the individuals that I'm dealing with in this matter, I said, you know, look, I don't want this fight. I don't. This is the last thing I want to do right now for a million reasons. I would rather us just move on from one another and not engage. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of time. It's damaging all around. I'd like to just say, you know, I hate you. Not say that. You know what? This doesn't work. between us for whatever reason. Let's go our separate ways with regard to business. And unfortunately, it's a situation where I do have to stay and fight. And I've said, you've left me no choice. Right. You know, you've done something that's false, that's defamatory. And unfortunately, you've left me no choice but to have to fight you in the following ways. That is no good for either of us. And in this particular instance, it is something that will have a lasting effect. It is something I have to stay and fight. And the way I need to fight it is still with class. Not screaming, not yelling, not losing my temper. And that has been so hard for me because when, you know, whenever I feel like I'm being wronged or someone's being malicious or someone's being cruel, or, you know, my response is to just, you know, that very historical.
Don't poke the bear.
Yes. And it doesn't serve me.
Yeah.
So when you do need to stay and fight, because it is a matter of self-defense, and I think that's the answer. Even in martial arts, it's like, well, if it's self-defense, if you didn't have a choice, you stay and fight. If it's not, if it's because you're angry that day or you're exhausted or it reminds you of something or, you know, it's the principle. If it's not self-defense, keep walking, man. Keep going. Don't waste your money. Don't waste your time. Don't stress yourself out. Don't waste your energy. Build something new. Channel it into a new relationship, a new business venture, a new scenario. And I think that's the key because I've really been trying to figure that out. Is like, when do I fight and when do I flee? What's smarter? And one of them I fleed and one of them I have to fight. And it's how I fight it too. Smart, professional. Don't get emotional. It's not emotional, unfortunately. You defend yourself with all legal recourse, take all the necessary actions, you know, handle it appropriately, but don't allow yourself to get emotional. And when I was really looking at, you know, when I wanted to respond in an emotional way, I had to just remove myself from the situation. And my mom and I were talking about it, and she's like, honey, your desire to say this or that or the other is you feeling like a need to exert power over the situation. But it's not. It's not a powerful way to behave. It shows that you're emotional and you're losing control. And then when you do fight, make sure it's not a historical fight. Who cares if the guy says he's going to put me on a leash? He's obviously not able to do that. So what the hell do I need to engage with him for? That's not powerful. That's powerless. That's a position of weakness. You know, I don't need to. It's like, I don't need to have that fight.
Wait, because you don't know who you're fighting then.
I know, when I'm fighting my dad.
Well, no, but I mean, yeah. but with him, yeah.
I know.
There could be a generation of, you could be fighting his grandma.
I know
what I mean? You don't know that. It's like going to a gunfight with a knife. What's that called? Bringing a knife to a gunfight. That's right, Jillian. You don't want to be doing that, bringing a knife to the gunfight.
Oh, God.
Well, I think maybe we should stop now.
All right, yeah, do it. So, we're excited to have a new sponsor today, Janice.
I love that.
Lovocracy.com.
Cool.
Kind of a cool name, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Lovocracy is this really cool website where you can buy recommended pins, like pinning something that you like, right? A snapshot of it. You can buy recommended pins, posts, tweets, and or shares from all around the web. So let's say I discovered a perfume or an outfit or a computer or a cool set of headphones or whatever, and someone pins it or posts it or talks about it.
Right.
This thing finds it on the web, and basically their team searches all over the internet and tracks down the lowest price from the most reliable retailers, so you're not going to ever have to hunt it down. So they find it for you and then find the lowest price for you. Isn't that cool? And the whole idea is that marketing is sort of like, you know, doesn't really work anymore. So it's based off of personal recommendations.
Ain't that the truth?
Isn't that the coolest?
It's true.
I know. All you have to do is simply buy with a click and you're done. It's that easy. So you can join Lovocracy today and you're going to receive a $10 credit to purchase anything on the site. And that's Lovocracy.com.
go check it out. You're going to dig it. We both know Autumn digs it. I'm supposed to be working. Bless her heart.
All right. So I kind it's sort of a snappy-ish fitnessy kind of thing. I took some of the easier to answer email questions from our listeners and thought I would rattle off some answers.
Very good.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so the first question was, what's better, kettlebells or barbells and dumbbells? The answer is they're different and they do different things. So while sure, there are some exercises that you can do with either. A bicep curl can happen with a kettlebell or a dumbbell. A shoulder press or a chest press can happen with either. But in reality, you want to use them for different things.
Okay.
So you want to use the kettlebell for dynamic exercises, like a kettlebell swing, for example. And if you're trying to build strength and you're doing straightforward free weights, like a chest press, a shoulder press, a bicep curl, a tricep extension, and so on, then you want to use a clean, a power clean, you know, all the Olympic lifting stuff that the CrossFit people like to do. You want to use dumbbells and barbells to build strength, but you want to use kettlebells to be more metabolic.
Yeah, I can see that.
And so,
sure.
So the whole idea here, they did a study where they took 30 men and they asked them to train with kettlebells and traditional weights, right? So one group did kettlebells, one did traditional weights twice a week. And after 6 weeks, the guys that use traditional weights, and when I say traditional weights, you know, I mean dumbbells and barbells, they boosted their squat max, like how much they could lift, by 14%. They upped an average of 18 pounds. Whereas the guys who did kettlebells for those exercises only boosted by 4% or 5 pounds. So the reason for this is fairly obvious. It allows you to have a cleaner movement. Like if you're trying to chest press a kettlebell, it's a hell of a lot more difficult to load up a kettlebell and, you know, balance it against your wrist and what have you, whereas you could just load up a barbell and literally the kinesiology of the movement, the ergonomic, like the way your body can handle the bar and so on, allows you to add more weight and therefore build more strength. So if you're going for very traditional weightlifting and you want to build strength and you want to build size, you want to go with dumbbells and you want to go with barbells. But if you're looking for things that are going to make you more athletic, that are going to improve your tennis game, that are more metabolic, that are going to burn more calories, then it's a kettlebell movement like kettlebell swings. And this is because it incorporates more muscle groups. It deals with speed, flexibility, core strength, explosive power. And remember, the more muscle groups you're using, the more calories you're burning. So that's going to allow you to burn more calories during the workout and after the workout's over. So kettlebells will make you likely more functional with regard to your fitness level because they force the body to synergize different muscle groups. They're more core-based, but they're not going to help you build size and strength in the way that dumbbells and barbells would. And my suggestion always is mix it up, you know, unless you have very specific goals. If it's like, no, I just want to be huge. Well, all right. But very few people just want to be huge. Yeah. I want people to be more functional and fit to be functional, more athletic overall. Mm-hmm. And so I mix it up. So for those very straightforward exercises, use barbells and dumbbells. And then don't forget to do your kettlebell swings, your Turkish get-ups, and all of that stuff with your kettlebells.
I've worn a Turkish get-up back in the day.
The good old days?
In the good old days.
Right. Right. Would you like to tell us about that?
Nope.
I would like to hear it. Oh, Autumn just left the room. She went to puke in her mouth for a second.
Throw up burp.
Yeah. What do you want to tell us?
Just, no.
Come on.
No.
Go ahead.
No.
Get it
really,
off your chest.
No, it just was a party, and we dressed up, and I was kind of in a Turkish. I don't remember because part of the outfit. Yes, I was. Yeah, part of the outfit was left somewhere. I don't know, and I to this day
someone's out there with half my Turkish get up on. And I hope they're having a hell of a good time.
The panty part?
Yes, it was the bottom part.
Right.
Okay. What's right. next on here?
Woo! All right. The next one is about recovery days. So oh. I got asked, should I take a rest day? Should I do nothing on my rest day? How do you deal with a rest day? How often you take a rest day? All right. So I like 2 rest days a week. But one, if you're only going to take one, that's okay too. I take 2 because I'm not actively trying to lose weight. So I want my body to recover. I'm not looking for that extra calorie burn. I like to do, everybody knows, or if you're at all familiar with the way that I train the front muscles, you know, my chest, shoulders, triceps, muscles with the same function, quads and lower abs, 2 days a week with 2 days of rest in between. So like Monday, Thursday, and I train the back of my body, pull muscles and glutes and hamstrings, obliques, upper abs, 2 days a week. So like Tuesday, Friday with a cardio day on a Wednesday or a Saturday, and I take 2 days off. But if you only take 1 day off, that's okay. You need to make sure, though, that you're not training the same muscle groups over and over back to back, or the body's never having a chance to repair or heal. That's why we have muscle splits, which we've talked about. But if it is your off day, and you must take at least 1 off day, it doesn't mean I want you to be completely sedentary. It doesn't mean lay on the couch and eat Cheetos. The idea here is that, you know, you don't want to go to the gym and do strenuous exercise, but you do want to have an active day, an active recovery day. I mean, if you think of the way that we were built, if you're somebody who subscribes to a Paleolithic kind of mentality, even though I'm not with regard to, you know, eating tons of bacon, that's not something I advocate per se. But if you're going to subscribe to that concept, right, of, all right, you know, how are we designed? Well, we never had days where we didn't have to hunt and we didn't have to gather.
Right.
You should be moving. So a good rule of thumb is, you know, get a body monitoring device. Obviously, I work with the Body Media Armband, and it can show you how many steps you've taken. Live in motion. Walk to the store. Ride your bike, you know, down the street. Stand up instead of sit down. We've talked about this a lot. You know, be active still, even though you're not exercising, and aim for 10,000 steps. If you get 10,000 steps a day, you can burn 500 additional calories. That's a lot. That's like an hour of crazy exercise. So
it really will. That's amazing.
We tend to, though, we always have this black and white in America. It's like all or nothing. Mm-hmm. It should be an active recovery day. You still want to live in motion. You still want to be mobile. You don't want to lay on the couch and be completely sedentary. And then last but not least, I had a question about caffeine again. Okay, we all know caffeine is very complicated. And like many things in life, it's about balance. You know, even with vitamins and minerals, if you have too much of it, it can be extremely bad. Vitamin A can be extremely toxic if you have too much of it. Vitamin C can really upset your stomach if you have too much of it. Everything is about balance. So when you read about caffeine, I mean, it provided you don't have high blood pressure or heart disease and your doctor says it's okay to have caffeine, there are a host of potential benefits, from helping with type 2 diabetes to helping to improve cognitive function to enhancing the intensity of your workouts. Coffee, however, is not the ideal form to get your caffeine for 2 reasons. While coffee does have a lot of caffeine, coffee is not just caffeine. In fact, coffee is only like 2% of what makes up coffee is caffeine, even though the quantity of caffeine in coffee can be high. The first thing is, you can't regulate your caffeine when you have a coffee. So you might think, oh, this cup of coffee is 100 milligrams of caffeine, but a grande Starbucks is 330 milligrams of caffeine. The reality is that you don't want to have any more than 400 milligrams of caffeine a day. And the equation of that would be 2 strong cups of coffee. It just depends on the roast, how dark it is, how long you've brewed it for, how much of it you're drinking. It's very difficult to regulate. In addition, coffee is not time released in your system, so it slams the adrenal glands. So if you can get it in a pure supplement form, a clean supplement form, which is why I invested in eBoost, that's obviously how I get my caffeine, because when it's blended with antioxidants, and often a citrus blend, something like a grapefruit seed extract, for example, it
allows the caffeine to be time released in the body. It breaks down more slowly, so it's not slamming your adrenal glands in the same way that a cup of coffee would. Coffee also has a host of other things in it. And while there are antioxidants and all kinds of stuff going on, there's also bad stuff in coffee. So coffee has a ton of chlorogenic acid, which can cause irritable bowel syndrome or GERD or upset your stomach or make you nauseous. Coffee also has something in it that, unless it's filtered, it can raise your bad cholesterol. It can actually raise your LDL. So you have to get coffee and you have to filter it. And you don't want to filter it through a bleached filter. You want to filter it through a non-bleached filter. If it's not organic, it's going to have tons of pesticides on it. So, you know, if you're just jamming through Starbucks, I don't think their coffee's organic. Not to say that I haven't been to Starbucks. Of course I have, but
I don't think it is.
No, which is why, you know, coffee's a heavily sprayed crop. So if you're going to buy the organic roast and you're going to grind it at home and you're going to filter it through, you know, an unbleached filter and you're going to be very smart about regulating your dose, then sure. But in supplement form, especially if you're using it as an aid for your workouts, it's way better to take in supplement form 45 minutes before you train. And I don't mean like hydroxy cut. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about like, hold on, I want to blow my head off of my shoulders. Although nowadays, even when you look at things like hydroxycut, they're fairly benign. There is no more ephedrine on the market. That's been taken off of the market. Anything that was dangerous has been removed from the market.
Right.
You can't put, you know, back in the old days when I was a kid, it was like an ephedrine, caffeine, and aspirin stack. You can't put aspirin in supplements anymore I don't even think you ever could. Aspirin is a drug because they've taken white willow bark, which is a natural inflammatory, but they've added the acetyl group to it, making it something that's been patented. It's not naturally occurring anymore. So, you know, ephedrine, which was Mao Wang, is illegal. You can't even find that anymore. So
that speeds your heart up, right? The ephedrine.
Well, back in the old days, they used to think like an ephedrine caffeine stack. And, you know, it was always debatable. Then people would say, well, the drug companies were going after it because they wanted to promote their diet drugs like phentermine and so on.
Yeah.
But the reality is I just wouldn't, even if it was legal, I would just say like, dude, just caffeine. You know me, I'm very straightforward. Caffeine, 400 milligrams, a controlled dosage, a time release dosage with antioxidants. Also, coffee is very dehydrating. Whereas if you're just having caffeine pure, it's not going to dehydrate you in the same way, especially if it's coming with antioxidants and electrolytes. So I'm a huge advocate of supplementation instead.
I did not know all that stuff about the caffeine. That was very interesting.
I know. Caffeine, you know, it's my drug of choice. It's how by the way, like, again, I hate to say, if I take it 45 minutes before I work out, the difference in my workout is like night and day. Whereas if I am not caffeinated.
Yep. No, I believe
and
it.
But all the studies will show it boosts your endurance. It mobilizes your fat stores. It spares muscle tissue. It decreases your pain sensitivity. So you can lift longer. You can lift harder. You can lift heavier. It's a tool for, if you're going to use it in this way, for intensifying your exercise.
Yep. Yeah. Cool.
All right.
All right.
Enough of that.
And now we'll take some questions from the people, from the folks.
Fine.
From the folks.
Well,
phone.
Good.
All right. We'll be right back.
I cannot tell you how many people I've trained that have ended up becoming personal trainers.
Mm.
I think that people who appreciate how fitness has empowered them in every facet of their lives suddenly feel compelled to share that message with others.
Pass it forward.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it in so many Biggest Loser contestants. And even back in the day when I would just work with, even 10 years ago when I was training soccer moms, they would take it up as a side job because they loved it so much. Or maybe you are a fitness fanatic. But if you are considering a career as a personal trainer, you want to check out the National Academy of Sports Medicine. I have to tell you that, you know, I was an overweight kid. We all know that. And I fell into this line of work because
I loved it. Not necessarily so much, oh, I love feeling the burn, but I love how it empowers me, and I love subsequently empowering others in the same way. And if you feel passionate about that, I highly recommend you check these guys out. Because right now, certified personal trainers are in higher demand than ever, and NASM can help you make your goals a reality. They're going to guarantee that you will land a job within 90 days of earning your certification, or you get your money back. So you can get started right now with a free 14-day sneak peek of their fast, fun, and easy online program. All you have to do is go to usatrainer.com.
What's that again?
Oh, let me tell you. usatrainer.com.
Okay, we're back, and Jean would like to talk to you. Hey, Jean, what's up?
Hey, quite a bit, but I had a quick question for you.
Oh, my God, I love it. Quite a bit. There's 10 kids lighting the house on fire right now, and my company's going bankrupt, but I'm sorry. That's a page from my life. I apologize. Go ahead, buddy.
No, what I called about was I've recently started training for a 5K. I did a 5K last April, and when I was training, I was doing it in the winter. Okay. So I wasn't having a lot of problem with being hot. I was actually freezing because I was running outside.
Gotcha.
I subsequently moved to working out in a gym and running on a treadmill. And the problem I'm having with the running is chafing and stuff. So my question to you is to wear underwear or not wear underwear? And what are your suggestions for new runners like me in workout clothes?
Okie dokie. It's fine to go commando, but I have to have a caveat. You are not allowed to wear capri pants that are over, I'd say, 6 months to a year old.
Moose knuckle.
No, it's just that if you bend over, they're see-through.
Oh.
Yeah, I've had that happen to me in yoga class. Not to me. I've been behind a down dogger and scarred for life. So, the thing is, it's okay to do, because I have to admit, like, I have found, I don't like when the cotton underwear gets sweaty, and then it just feels like you're wearing sweaty drawers, and it's just, there's not a fitness underwear situation, and, like, I'm fine with that, but you've got to make sure that you've got some serious opaque fabric. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, right. And see, I don't do the capri things. I'm almost 6 foot tall, so I kind of wear more of like a board short kind of type thing. But
the short's a little risky. The short's a little risky. How about like a thinner sweat pant, like a capri-ish sweat pant kind of a thing?
I could try that. I guess I steer clear of the capri because it looks like I'm wearing high waters.
Even a longer sort of sweatpant that's like a thinner fabric. But a board short doesn't really sound like, that's no good for running, buddy. That sounds like a chafing sort of situation. That could be part of the problem is the...
Yeah.
So
what about sliders? Don't
the hell's a slider?
They're like what the baseball players wear under their...
A 70s running short?
No.
I know what Janice is talking about. There's shorts that you can wear. There's like kind of a fitness thing that you can put on underneath your shorts, so when you slide on the ground, you don't
She's not sliding on the ground.
No, but that's where they were created. But they're like a tight. Right. They're like tight, like a cut off tights. But it depends on the fabric because
want to
get.
Well, but she's got to wear that under something.
Yeah, right. But I'm just saying, if she has the board,
I'd say something loose. I'd say, honestly, a pair of loose, light sweats, and you know what you use for chafing? Aquaphor. Rub it on your inner thighs. Aquaphor. It also keeps the moisture off your skin. So, like, you know, athletes get jock itch, and they get the athlete's foot and the whole thing. If you put the Aquaphor on it, it keeps the moisture off of your skin and it helps with chafing.
It's a gel or a cream?
I hate to say this. It's a petroleum-based cream, but it works. It works really. It's not great for you, but it works well if you're having a chafing problem.
And I actually had something else that I was using that's not actually meant for it, but I was getting blisters on my feet, so I was putting some stuff in that kind of helped with the blisters there. I know I probably need to get a better pair of shoes, but...
I was just going to say, honey, I think you might need a new pair of shoes.
Those are actually new shoes, so... The major problem I was having, though, like I said, was this last time I hit my 5 miles in the training, and I was just miserable because I was chafed, my underwear was soaking wet, and I'm like, there's got to be a better way. So I did look up, what are your thoughts on, like, the specialty underwear? Because I did see, but they're kind of expensive, underwear that were listed for running.
I've never even, that's amazing. I've not even heard of specialty underwear, so...
she wears a G-string.
I don't. I told you I don't like floss in my butt crack. You know this. I've told you this before.
I know, but I
can never run in a G-string. And it would just feel like something was flossing my butt the entire run. I like a pair of either very thick material capri pants or sweats, like a loose pair of sweatpants to do my running
in. And you always go commando.
I do when I run because, like, it's all sweaty and yucko. I don't like... anything creeping up my butt or anything like that.
Right, yeah.
This is maybe, it's just, because when you run, it just kind of slid. No, no. I'd say a opaque capris or a loose pair of sweats that are a lighter fabric that you feel comfortable in. Or you could get, like, running tights. Literally, they make running tights for that. But if you feel uncomfortable in that, it doesn't have to be capri length. It could be that kind of fabric. And that whisks away moisture. And then where you're getting that chafing, you use the Aquaphor. That'll help.
Okay, cool. That sounds like
I have to check out these undies.
Yeah, they were like $29 for just one pair. So
yeah, because they're wicky. They've got that.
I just don't think that's necessary. I would get I would get a pair of running pants. They don't have to be capris. Grease it up in there.
The capri, she's too tall for that kind of stuff. You're a short stuff. You can wear that stuff.
Yeah, I'm not too much on the shorty shorts either.
I don't like those either. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Loose sweats or a pair of running capris, grease it up, buddy.
All right.
Yeah.
Have a bunch of fun.
Yeah, grease it up. And get some new shoes.
New shoes, yes. Yes, that's on my agenda with all the things that are going on. Is to try to get a new pair of shoes and actually go someplace and have them fitted. So,
yeah, especially if you're training for a 10K, you're running, honey. You got to have good shoes.
Yep, I definitely agree.
All right, you.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you.
My pleasure, buddy. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Bye now.
Things have now gotten heated in my house. I am now officially in a heated competition with Heidi, Bob, and Giancarlo on Lumosity.com. It's not just, people get so caught up in, like, physical challenges with their workouts and, competing with one another. Now it's like we're challenging ourselves with these brain exercises and we're competing with one another. It's like, it's insane. So I don't know if you're a competitive person or if you just want to improve your memory and your attention span, your problem solving abilities, your reaction time, you got to check this out. It's Lumosity.com. There are a bunch of different games that were created to work off of the neuroplasticity of your brain. It's like a personal trainer for your brain. It's the coolest thing ever, although you might end up killing your spouse if they beat you. If they beat you in one of the games, it gets very serious. But I love it. It's an absolute blast. If you want to check it out, you go to lumosity.com. You just click the start training button to create your own program and then start playing your first game. That's lumosity, LUMOSITY.com. And tell them you heard it from me, Jillian Michaels.
I'm just saying that.
What?
Well, you're very good at, when people are in pain, to find something. You're very good about getting them motivated to.
How many pieces of candy do you have in front of you?
Jake did that on purpose.
There's like 8 pieces of candy in front of you.
No, but I haven't. I only had 4 so far that I hid in my bag before you came to the studio. And every time you were talking, I'd turn around and shove one in my pie hole. But Jake put these here on purpose to make it look like.
Look at his face. Look at his face.
Yeah, that's see, he's our got one straight in his... engineer, Jake.
A.K.A. son of Bruce Paul. What?
Okay.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying that you are...
trying to do a show here. What are you talking about?
I'm saying that you can get through pain with art.
That's what are you, what Basquiat? What are you talking about right now?
I'm saying that... Well, I went to a little show the other night. I was invited to a party, and they had 3 singer-songwriters that came out and sang. Mm-hmm. And we were all in this back here. It was very cool. And this one girl was singing, and she had lost her... No, I'm sorry, anyway, she had lost her son. She lost her son.
God.
But she created this music around the loss of him.
God.
And it was beautiful. Like, the music...
God.
It was beautiful. And then I ran. And then I was at a funeral. Hang on. It's going to get better.
Oh, my God.
I went to a funeral on Friday. Because, you know, when you're in your 50s,
party.
No. You either go to a lot of funerals when you get in your 50s because either your friend's parents are passing or sometimes it's just you. Anyway, and I ran to an old friend. And I went, hey, blah, 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 we're talking. And she had gone to, she was in the, had done some time in the psych ward. You know, and I went, oh, wow, you know, and I wasn't sure, you know, because I was eating my egg sandwich, because there's always egg sandwiches at a funeral, telling you, always egg sandwich. Anyway, and so what, but she did, though, she said that she
found...
Look
at Jake's face.
She
Jake's
found...
like, interesting info.
No, but she started, well, part of her therapy was art therapy, and so she started painting, and now she's got paintings in a gallery, you know what I mean, like... So the art, and for and me, when I was went through a very bad breakup, one of the many that I've had years ago, I went to pottery, and I took pottery. Granted, we drank while we did the pottery. It became like a pottery night. We had red wine, and then we'd all get around and we'd make this pottery, and then the teacher would fire it while we were gone, and come back the next week, and we'd see what we made, and it was just...
Artistic.
It was the wildest part, but it was incredibly. So I'm just saying that sometimes I know we automatically go, oh, we got to get out and exercise and move our bodies when we're down or tragedy has happened. But sometimes art, you know, like writing or painting or can
pottery.
Be just as
drunken pottery,
red wine pottery. We call it was the red wine pottery night.
What if you don't have any talent? Like I don't.
None of us
I don't
did.
Sing. I don't play any music.
Nobody does have talent.
Can't really paint or draw a stick figure. Not even really. And
okay, I bet you if you spent some time in the psych ward, you would find something.
Every day is a psych ward.
No, I'm just
Biggest Loser is a psych ward.
You.
Let me tell you.
You. Have you ever done anything?
Not the contestants either. That's not them.
Jillian, you've written. You've written stuff.
I do like to write. I do like to write. If there was a... I enjoy writing. But I like to write books.
I thought you wrote poetry. You've written poetry. So?
I haven't written poetry when I was 12.
Have you ever tried to do it again?
No.
Why wouldn't you? Why don't you take a poetry? Why don't you go to UCLA and take a poetry class?
When? In my spare time?
Yes, in your spare time.
Wait a second. You write songs.
No. Oh, tuck my wiener. I forgot about that. That's
and,
true.
And dip it.
That's right. Dip it good. Yeah. That's true. I do that.
But I think it's a side of you that maybe you should explore and see what happens.
I'd rather just punch people.
No, see, there's the physical. I'm trying to get you away from the physical into art. Have you ever have you tried a pottery class?
Do I look like I've tried a pottery class?
Not lately, but maybe. Have you ever tried some kind of modern dance?
Are you being serious right
now? That's physical. I'm just saying that sometimes we forget that there's a whole other side of us that's untapped and that can be incredibly healing.
My mom does say that, you know, Bob is great at this, though. But see, I feel like you got to have talent to do this, because I think you're right. Like, I do think that people who channel their pain into music or art or poetry, you know, it's extremely therapeutic and it's some of their best work. But I don't have talent. Like, Bob is he's great at photography. And he went through a breakup and it's like his pictures were just awesome. But I think you've got to have talent to do that.
But I don't think you see that you're putting that in the way you're thinking that you have to have the talent to do it. I can't. I'm not a potter. I can't make. But I'm telling you what it did, that comrade, just what it did for me out of that breakup was amazing.
You sure it wasn't the wine?
The wine definitely did help. And I do have some of the pottery. But I'm just saying, you don't have to be talented. You just do it for the love of doing it.
All right. I can't think about what I would do, but I don't know what I would do.
I think you should write. I seriously think you should write. I think you've got something inside of you to say without it being inspirational for everybody else. Just do it for you. You don't write for yourself. I write for myself. That's why I take courses at the college, and I'm the oldest one in the entire school. But that's okay. Do it for something for you.
All right, fine. Then everybody out there, you got to do it too.
Okay, then that's the challenge. You throw down the gauntlet.
Yeah, okay. I'll try it. I'll write a poem, and I will come back, and it will say, I hate you.
Promise you'll write.
I'm going to kill you.
Oh, you know what? I know you've
written. I'm going to gut you.
Oh, my God.
You're not putting me on a leash.
Oh, my God. That's your challenge. I challenge you.
Okay.
To sit down and write something.
All right, fine. We'll check back in another show and see how that turns out.
Thanking you.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.